Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Kevin Moore Show. I'm Kevin Moore, and it is a pleasure to be spending the next hour with you. Our opening musical selection was Promises, Promises, a wonderful song from the great composer Burt Bacharach. And that's what I have for all of you today, the promise that this next hour will be informative, interesting, provocative, and maybe even a little exciting. A promise that our discussions will give you something to think about today and hopefully something to talk about tomorrow. Or what I'd like to think of as a civilized hour of culture and conversation. Well, as I like to do to begin each of our shows, I like to read or share a recent poignant story or an especially interesting essay or some philosophical quotes or thoughts or sometimes even a little poetry that touches or speaks to us all. Well, I think we can talk a little bit about New Year's resolutions since we weren't around right at New Year's Day. So I'm going to read a little essay written by Tom Masuris from the Hinsdale Doings. And Tom writes, a New Year's resolution. It's that time of year again, the period after Christmas celebrations and New Year's parties. Out with the old and in with the new. It's the start of a new year, new habits, new attitudes, and fresh beginnings. You see it as people jog slowly by with new sweatsuits and tennis shoes, walking at times to catch their breath. You see it in local restaurants where salad sales are up, and as a result, half-full patrons leave hungry, craving double cheeseburgers. You see it in the neighborhood health clubs where treadmills are now full after being empty just a month earlier. It's a period of time when dieters, smokers, drinkers, and the disorganized seem to have suddenly found new religion in their zeal to meet their personal improvement goals for the new year. According to the Internet, the top 10 New Year's resolutions are as follows. Spend more time with family and friends. Exercise. Lose weight. Quit smoking. Enjoy life more. Quit drinking. Get out of debt. Learn something new. Help others. And get better organized. Well, these are all terrific goals. I'm proposing to add an 11th resolution to the list. One that is less about self and more about others. And while this is not necessarily a singular resolution, perhaps collectively, these ideas are something we all should consider. Be a good and responsible neighbor. Be kind to your family and others. Pick up trash on the way to the train station or town. Say hello to the jogger or shopkeeper. Let the pedestrian pass. Teach your children to become good citizens. Don't charge into the train at the expense of others. Volunteer in a charitable cause. Make your community better in some way. If all of us resolve to consciously make our local communities better each day, our area would be an even better place to live. So, Happy New Year, and good luck with all those resolutions. Something to think about. And also from Neil Steinberg, the talented and award-winning columnist from the Chicago Sun-Times. This month begins our new year. It's called January for Janus, the Roman god of doors and archways. Janus is depicted with two faces, one gazing forward, one gazing back. And that dual view is how we usually approach New Year's, as a time to look back on the last year and forward at the year to come. The young typically prefer the first tack. They're impatient, hot for the future to come, eager to hit the town at New Year's, to party, to celebrate. Staying home is almost unimaginable to them. The world is waiting. It's waiting to happen out there. The old tend to look back. They don't go out as much. Better to stay home, maybe throw a party, gather your friends so they can ogle what a great life you've managed to build. The world's already achieved and on display right here. But there's a third option pointed out by the great English essayist Charles Lamb, who sat down on New Year's Day, 1821, and wrote about his ambivalence over the holiday. Charles Lamb wrote, I am naturally, beforehand, shy of novelties, new books, new faces, new years, Lamb writes, suggesting we celebrate not the past nor the future, but the present. I am content to stand still at the age to which I am arrived, he writes. I and my friends, to be no younger, no richer, or no handsomer. Lamb was middle-aged when he wrote that, though it's a perspective one can't pretend to share. Striving is too embedded in our nature. But it does seem a healthy outlook, one at least worth considering. Cast away both regrets over the past and resolutions for the future, and live instead in the moment. A happy new year may or may not come to pass, but I'm confident we can celebrate a happy right now. Interesting. A happy right now. Okay. So right now, let's play a little music from the very talented Michelle LeGrand. Lyrics from Alan and Marilyn Bergman from the movie The Thomas Crown Affair. You remember the original with Tom, with you remember the original with Steve McQueen and Faye Dunaway. Won the Academy Award for Best Song in 1968. The Windmills of Your Mind. And we'll be back on The Kevin Moore Show. We'll be right back. Rousing the Windmills of Your Mind, Michelle Legrand. And we're back on the Kevin Moore Show from The Thomas Crown Affair. Great movies of the 60s. The 11th annual Chicago Travel and Adventure Show brings top travel experts, thousands of vacation options, and international culture and cuisine to Rosemont, January 17th and 18th. Wild author Cheryl Strayed leads roster of celebrity speakers, including travel personalities Samantha Brown, Pauline Frommer, Peter Greenberg, and Patricia Schultz. Become inspired by the sights and sounds and experience the culture of faraway destinations from across the globe at the 2015 Chicago Travel and Adventure Show. Discover wanderlust and receive insider tips from top-tier travel personalities when America's number one travel show returns to the Donald Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont on January 17th and 18th. Now in its 11th year in the Chicago area, the Travel and Adventure Show features more than 1,200 travel experts from the world's top destinations, tours, and suppliers to help travel enthusiasts find, plan, and book their dream vacation. With a wide array of inspirational seminars and workshops on five educational stages, all types of travelers can immerse themselves into the aroma of international cuisines, rhythmic beats from distant lands, learn how to travel more efficiently, and become inspired to tap into their adventurous side. It's the biggest travel show ever to hit Chicago, and it's all because Chicagoans have a great appetite for travel and culture, says Unicom CEO John Golich. This show is a great way for travelers and families to experience the world in one day through the eyes of well-traveled speakers and the thousands of experts who represent exciting destinations, tours, and vacation options from around the globe. Guests and families of all ages are encouraged to meet Alaskan sled dogs, ride camels, and interact with supporting sponsor SeaWorld's Wild Friends, all of which are located on the show floor. It's like walking through a living travel guidebook, adds Golich. Local destination experts are on hand to allow attendees to discuss, one-on-one and in detail, how, when, and where to travel, complete with insider tips and local knowledge you can't get anywhere else. And on the line with us right now is the award-winning businessman, world traveler, entrepreneur, a person sincerely dedicated in bringing the joy, exhilaration, and adventure of travel to people and families worldwide, and the CEO of Unicom, producer of the largest series of travel shows in America, now presenting the 11th annual Travel and Adventure Show at the Donald Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont, Saturday, January 17th and Sunday, January 18th. Mr. John Golich. John, welcome to the Kevin Moore Show.
Well, thank you, and good morning. How are you?
Great to have you. You got an exciting couple of days, but so is Chicagoland.
We are. We're so excited to be back. Let me tell you, the reception's been great so far, and people see the logo on my shirt when I'm in the airport, and they say, hey, we went to that show, so it's exciting to get that.
We have to go through this because some of this stuff is so interesting, John. Let's just start with the Travel Channel Theater, which is a big theater that you're going to be presenting specific speakers at, which is fascinating because one of the speakers is this Cheryl Strayed, who now is in a movie. Reese Witherspoon portrays her from her book Wild, From Lost to Found on the Pacific Crest Trail.
That's right. And as a matter of fact, that just got Oscar nominated today.
Right,
so it's
right.
Pretty exciting. Yeah, Cheryl is a unique individual who is you know, we always tell people there's so many different ways to travel, right? You can go by train, these magnificent train ships. You can cruise. You can drive yourself. You can take a plane. You take a cargo ship these days. But I don't know, walking 1,100 miles along the Pacific Trail, that's quite an adventure. And fascinating speaker. She's going to be live on that stage here and meeting people after. So we're really excited about it. First time she's ever been to any of our shows, and what a timely time to be there, too.
Now, I'm going to digress a little bit because you just piqued my interest in something you just said, and that's taking a train trip. I've always envisioned going on the Orient Express in Europe and taking one of those train trips through the European countryside and so forth in that sophisticated way that Hercule Poirot did, if you remember the Agatha Christie stories and so forth. Is that doable in the United States?
You know, a lot of things are doable. You know, you really, if you want to have one of those old-time great scenic train trips in the U.S., you certainly have the Amtrak trains going back and forth. But the real luxury side is you can still go to Canada and do it. A lot of great values in, believe it or not, doing some luxury train trips in Spain right now.
Oh, really?
So that's one of the trends we see this year is just Europe in general, right? There's a few things happening. Right now, there's a lot of competition in transatlantic flights.
Mm-hmm.
So fares have actually are going to drop this year by 5 to 8%.
Oh, that's nice.
Going from here to there, which is, yeah, that's wonderful. The euro is at a historic, you know, recent historic lows as well. So if you've been holding off going to Europe, this might be the year you want to jump on it because demand is down, hotels are available, prices are down, and the dollar goes further. So great, great time to go to Europe, and it's probably the best opportunity in the last 6 to 8 years. So take advantage of that.
See, that's the kind of insight that you'll get when you go to the travel show and hear some of those speakers talk about that.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, the great one of the great things about the show is we have five stages right on the show floor, and your admission ticket gets you to all of them. So we have the Travel Channel Theater you mentioned, which is our biggest theater right there. That's where the celebrity or the name brand travel speakers are. It's about 1,000 seats there, and it's usually standing room only, but it's people speak multiple times in general. Pauline Frommer from the Frommer Guidebooks is there, and she gives great money-saving tips, and a lot of people love to hear her.
I use her books myself. I love them.
They are. It's fantastic. Yeah. You know, it's funny. They changed hands. Google bought them for a while because they wanted content. And recently, last year, the Frommers got them back. So it's really exciting time for them. We talked about Cheryl Strait. Samantha Brown, everyone's favorite, has been in our show for years, and she still comes back. Loves them. People love her, and standing room only audiences. And she's very gracious. So it's a wonderful thing to see. We have author Patricia Schultz from 1,000. Places to See Before You Die. She's had a few editions of that out now and always some fascinating tips. And Peter Greenberg, the CBS travel reporter,
right,
is with us as well. So great name brand speakers, but they'll inspire you. They'll give you tips, but the real meat potatoes of this show are the other theaters like the Destination Theater. That's where we have experts from leading tour operators or destinations giving 35-minute workshops in detail about what you can do, when to go, and how to do it. We have a great stage called the Taste of Travel stage, which is all about culinary experiences from around the world. We have local and international chefs here that'll be preparing unique ethnic foods for you right in front of you. It's we've changed that whole setup now, so it's intimate. It's like being at a chef's table, if you will.
And let's talk about that a little bit, because some of the people you have there, very, very interesting. People who can show you how to do a shore lunch, people who are vegetarians like Karen Calabrese, who, of course, has got a great restaurants in Chicago, Karen's
right.
Cooked and Karen's on Green and Karen's Raw Bistro and so forth, and
sure.
A lot of great chefs.
We do. So, you know, it's funny. As we come back each year, we have local chefs reaching out. We reach out to them, and then we have tourism boards bringing some people in sometimes. So it's an exciting stage for us. And what's great about it, you know, travel is all about food.
Sure.
It's all about travel. I mean, who wants to go somewhere and eat out of a brown paper bag? No, you look for the great restaurants and local cuisine. Unique flavors, and that kind of gets you going. So it's a funny show. You're walking down one aisle of Africa talking to a real African Maasai. You turn the corner, and all of a sudden you're getting this waft of smell as you see a chef preparing something right in front of you. And like I said, it's so intimate. They're standing right next to you at the table, and they're flipping your food. They're talking. They're joking around. They're demonstrating. It's a lot of fun. And we have a brand new stage this year called the Savvy Traveler Stage, and that's all about tips and techniques about technology, when to book, how to, you know, take better pictures, if you will, how to travel differently, how to get the most out of a cruise. Real deep information that will help you save money and get better as a traveler. And, of course, the perennial favorite, Global Beat Stage, all about music and dance from around the world. I'm looking at the schedule right now. It's completely booked. They're going to have some great presentation there. So you're going to get culturally inspired. And what that leads you to is going out into those hundreds and hundreds of booths we have on the exhibit floor. And I think we have about 1,700 experts from around the planet flying in today, of all days, and tomorrow to man those booths and talk to, you know, people from Chicago who want to take trips. And that's where the magic happens, because you're getting that local information you can't get anywhere else.
And the Global Beat Stage, very interesting. Belly dancing, Nordic folk dancing, Mexican folkloric dancing, Bollywood and classical Indian dancing, Native American dancing, Indonesian cultural dancing, Hawaiian dancing, jazz, tap, hip-hop, Irish dancing, Thai cultural dancing. You kind of covered the gamut there.
It'll blow your mind. You got to take a break sometime.
All at once, too. That's interesting.
And it's all going on at the same time. So you have to really, you know, go to the website, travelshows.com, and look at the schedule. There's a schedule, a glance you can print out. You can download our app from there. Look on the app stores. For Travel Adventure Show app has everything on there, so it'll be right on your phone so you don't miss anything. And take your time and plan out your trip, because people stay for 4, 5, 6 hours. Because you want to take the big sessions in. There might be some destination or savvy traveler stage things you want to see, or a performance going on, a chef you want to meet. But then you got to meet those people, those experts that come in, and they're the ones where that local knowledge transfers and really teaches you about what's going on in that particular destination or tour opportunity or whatever it might be. And as I always tell people, you know, it's easy to go on the internet and book a trip, but I don't know about you. I've never seen a bad picture of a travel destination, hotel, or trip on the internet.
That's right.
All look wonderful.
Oh, sure.
And you hear all these horror stories.
Yes, right.
Speaking to a live person who performs that function as a tour operator or is from that destination in these tourism boards, what have you, and they will tell you everything you need to know, and it's authentic, it's real, they're engaged in helping you. They come back year after year. They really enjoy the shows and meeting and people, and I can't tell you how many times at the end of a Chicago show I'll be kind of walking out with exhibitors and everything else, and I'm saying, John, I tell you, these people know what they want. They come in armed with questions. It's incredible. We have great conversations. They already have research done in our destination. So it's a nice fit for Chicago here, and in this weather, who doesn't want to get away?
And let's accentuate, too, it's a family show, Jen.
It absolutely is. You know, we've always had a policy 16 years and under is free, so you bring the family in because you know, it's so important to get them involved in the travel decisions, and they get to talk to people here from other countries. They literally see the world in an afternoon. They'll see different costumes, if you will, on people. They'll see dancing. They'll taste the food. They get to do activities. We have SeaWorld here as one of our sponsors, and they bring in, I was just on TV, some penguins that they're going to have here, Pete and Penny Penguin, and some lemurs and screech owls. So you'll be able to meet the SeaWorld animals, and they talk about a family trip there. We have camel rides this year, which is always a lot of fun. We haven't done that for a few years, and that's a great thing. We have some trikes, these big old-fashioned trikes coming in that you can ride around from Wisconsin, and just get involved in all this good stuff. And kids love the show. It's funny how often we see them just smiling and laughing and talking to people that they would never see otherwise. So it's a great cultural experience.
And you know the little ones like it, but when you have the teenagers who hate everything, and all of a sudden they come and they say, oh, this is kind of cool, this is going to be interesting to try something like this, then you've piqued their interest, and then they're on board.
Yeah, you know, it was one of my favorite moments. I actually going from the exhibit hall to registration desk at one of our shows, going down an escalator, and in that particular show we had the dive pool, which has been here many years. I don't think it's here this year, but it'll come back next year. And there was a dad with two, I'd say, 16, 17-year-old boys, right? You know how hard that is.
Oh, sure.
And the kids' hair are wet, and their dad's in the two of them are in front of the escalator, the dad and me, and the kids turn around and say, Dad, thanks for bringing me. This was fantastic, a lot of fun. So, you know, as a dad myself, and my kids are a little older than that now, isn't that a great feeling for that dad, that he took them somewhere and they had a great time?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It doesn't always happen. Now, do a lot of travel agents come to get some ideas about trips for themselves?
We do, actually. We get a lot of travel agents at every market, and Chicago's always been. This year, it's been a huge registration of travel agents. I'm trying to actually talk to my people as to what's going on, because we see a real influx coming in. We open a half hour earlier on Saturday for them to come in, and they come in to talk with the destinations and tours and get more information for their customers. And they do very well. So we get hundreds and hundreds of travel agents that come through this, and they come here to research so they can serve their clients better. And it's a great tool for them. And more and more are taking advantage of it every year. So our exhibitors like that, and as do the agents.
Well, I know your philosophy is dream it, plan it, and do it, which is a great philosophy for a travel and adventure show, of course. And you've done this for 11 years. When you started, did you expect exponentially this to grow like it has? And I'm sure that year in and year out you change, have different ideas. Some you go by the wayside, some you adapt for new ones, and you will as time goes on. But here you are now.
Yeah, you know, when we started it, we started first one in New York 12, 13 years ago, and didn't know what to expect. It was 5 degrees below zero. The day was going to open. The coldest day in 100 years. We really didn't know what was going to happen. And 26,000 people came that week, and we said, this is interesting. and we're on to something here. And the show's evolved a lot. It really started as more of an adventure show when we first started. But as we learn, everyone's idea of adventure is quite different. From a marketing standpoint, you know, true adventure travelers are usually a lot younger and live in the back of a van, so no one's making money off of them. but your and our idea of adventure is probably a lot different than that.
So sure.
We've put them both together here, and travel should be an adventure. And as I always ask people, do you remember your last vacation? And you'd be surprised how often I hear, where did I go last but then they go, but I remember this trip I did.
Sure.
So they have those memorable trips, but unfortunately they have some in between that probably were just, I'll unwind a little, but unmemorable. And we want to change that. We want Americans to take all their vacation time, go out and see the world, whether it's a weekend getaway or an international voyage. It's affordable. You'll find all price points at the show. One of our sponsors, AAA, is in here with a travel group with a bunch of booths with their partners, and they have fantastic deals they're offering here that you just can't get anywhere else. So you'll be able to meet the actual tour operator, some of the best name brands with the AAA people. Their agents will be there. They've already got pre-negotiated discounts. It's a wonderful firm to work with. We enjoy them, and I don't know how many Chicago people use AAA for travel, but they should do more. I know our California customers use them all the time, you get some great, great rates on AAA, so we're excited to have them there.
Is that a good resource? Because I've been involved with AAA for years, but I've really never used them for trail.
Well, I think a lot of people say that. It's a very regional thing. Like I said, in California, everyone's got a AAA card, and they all use them for travel.
Uh-huh.
In Chicago, they've been growing rapidly on that, and we always like it because they can actually, you know, attendees will come and they'll walk around the show floor and they're ready to book a trip, but there's no one, you know, a tourism board may not be booking it. They're just
mm-hmm.
representing their destination, so they can walk right over to the AAA desk and get a quote or book a trip or a cruise, whatever they want to do there. So we have a few more of those booking firms there this year, and it's a great resource. And I think, I tell you, we've been working with them for about 4 years now, and they've really got their act together in travel, so I recommend it highly.
I know one thing you enjoy, of course, every year inventors and designers create fun and practical and fascinating new devices that make travel easier and more enjoyable, and it's the gadgets that come up. And let's just hit a couple of those because there's a press release on some of those, which I know you pick out because who better than you because you travel a lot.
Right.
And one is the Pocket Poppet Cardigan.
Yeah, one of the new categories we're trying to do, we've had this over years, but we never paid much attention to it.
It's a great idea.
More and more of these travel products coming in, and the Pocket Pop is great for women because, you know, if I travel with my wife a lot. She works with us, and temperature always seems to be an issue. You know, they're too hot, they're too cold.
How do
I do this? And lugging coats around the country is never fun on an airplane. So how do you deal with that? And Pocket Pop, it's a device. It's a little cardigan that's very stylish, and it folds into a little pouch. It fits in your purse. When you're hot, you take it out, you slip it on, and it all folds back upon itself. So they've been making a great little device there that helps a lot of women on traveling. And we have a lot of those kind of devices here and little gadgets that help make you traveling easier. And that's what the show's all about. You know, travel better, travel easier, travel more.
And you wouldn't see those otherwise. You'd come there, you'll see them, go, geez, I got to have this thing.
Exactly.
The pickpocket-proof pants. There you go.
Exactly. Another thing, you want to go to Europe this year, in the big cities, I suggest wearing something pickpocket-proof. And we have a vendor here that just, I've almost been pickpocketed twice in a couple countries, and luckily I had an alert kid behind me, son, that said, hey, Dad, look out. And, you know, sure enough, I turn around, and there's a hand reaching for it. So how do you protect yourself? You know, you can wear the money belt, you can do all kinds of things, but if you got to carry a pair of pants, why not make them in a way that you can stuff them full of stuff that people can't get at? And pickpocket-proof pants, I use them around when I travel to some place that I'm a little concerned with. And the way they flap and close their key compartments and secret pockets, if you will, you can put your passport in there, your money, your credit cards, whatever you need, phones, and it's too hard for someone to get at. So it's got that built into it. They have rip-stop fabrics in the pockets, so people with razors who try to slice the bottom of your pocket out to let everything get out.
Interesting.
And be stopped. So there's it's great technology there. We have Scotty Vest, which is a high-tech, well-engineered travel vest, if you will. You know, it's not your grandfather's photography vest you travel with anymore. They've got all kinds of pockets in there, which are lined with RFID stopping material, so they can't scan your credit cards in the airport. They have places for your iPad and your iPhone, built-in channels for headphone plugs and chargers and what have you. So you can actually load that thing up, be very comfortable, pull it right off at the airport check line, put it through a scanner, and put it right back on, and you're not digging through bags, putting stuff in and out.
It's a great idea. Great idea. Great and the one that you and I both like the best, Nap Anywhere.
I use it on the way down here. Let me tell you, if you haven't seen one of these, they're incredible. I sleep on airplanes a lot because I'm traveling a lot of red eyes, what have you. It's always tough, you know, depending on where you're sitting, on getting comfortable and sleeping. And pillows, for me, don't do it. I don't like lugging the horseshoe pillows around with all those little styrofoam beads, which I've unfortunately ripped once, and boy, that's something. this little device is like a flexible disc, if you will, a hard rubber, which is a little flexible, and you can bend it, and it supports your head. It's not a pillow. It's actually a way to support your head when you're upright So when you lean it to the side, it's not straining your neck. And I'm telling you, I put it on just coming here to Chicago. I went right to sleep, and my head, neck felt fine, and it was real easy. So you don't bob around. You're not going to go drooling on your neighbor. It's a nice little device. It's small. It fits right in your briefcase, and great product. So we have dozens of those products out on the show floor that you'll find. And again, you know, it's just ways to make the travel trip a little easier.
And you know, the thing is, nowadays people don't let you recline your seats because you're going to irritate the guy behind you. You have this thing. You can sit up straight, and you're fine.
Exactly right, and as we know, seats aren't getting any bigger.
That's the truth. Unicom is an independent business-to-business communications company specializing in originating and managing world-class trade shows and conferences. Unicom's properties include the nation's largest and longest-running series of travel events, the Travel and Adventure Show in Los Angeles, Chicago, Dallas, San Francisco, Bay Area, Washington, D.C., San Diego, and now for 2015, Philadelphia. The Chicago Travel and Adventure Show, the 2015 show, with a roster of top chefs, dynamic dance performances, and family-friendly activities, including camel rides, a Segway track, vintage replica trike rides, Alaskan sled dogs, and wild friends from SeaWorld Parks and Entertainment. Now in its 11th year, this year's show will bring top travel experts, travel seminars, thousands of vacation options, and more to the Donald Stevens Convention Center, January 17th and 18th. The show is the perfect place to meet with hundreds of travel experts to learn more about planning a dream vacation or a weekend road trip. Traveling is about experiencing a culture with all of the senses. The array of tastes, sights, and sounds at this year's show allows visitors to journey across the globe in one weekend, said CEO of Unicom, John Golich. Our exhibitors, guest speakers, chefs, and performers create a stimulating, inspiring atmosphere for the whole family. And on the line with us right now is John Golich, the CEO of Unicom. John, a pleasure chatting with you. It's going to be a great week. And if people would like to get some information before coming out, how would they do that?
Let's go to our website, travelshows.com. All the shows are there. Just click on Chicago. You'll find links for purchasing tickets, downloading apps, our travel show app, and of course, all the information you need to who's exhibiting, where they're on the floor plan, and what stages are hosting what speakers. It's a great place to bring the family this weekend. It's a lot of fun, and I guarantee you the top five list of places you want to go will change by the time you leave that show.
Well, have a ball this weekend. I look forward to seeing you myself. It's a great weekend for it, and enjoy Chicago.
Well, thank you so much, and thanks for the time. I know you're here.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, John. John Golich, the CEO of Unicom. It's going to be a great weekend, Saturday and Sunday, between the football games, of course. The 11th Annual Chicago Travel and Adventure Show, bringing top travel experts, thousands of vacation options, and international culture and cuisine to Rosemont on Saturday and Sunday. Of course, you can go on their website and get the information. But www.travelshows.com/Chicago. This Saturday and Sunday, enjoy yourself in Rosemont. The Auditorium Theater celebrates 10 years of Too Hot to Handle, the Jazz Gospel Messiah, January 17th and 18th, part of the Made in Chicago music series. More than 200 musicians and vocalists with soloists Roderick Dixon, Alfreda Burke, and Karen Marie Richardson pay tribute to Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. The Auditorium Theater of Roosevelt University presents the 10th anniversary performance of Too Hot to Handle, the Jazz Gospel Messiah, honoring the life of civil rights activist and cultural icon Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., January 17th and 18th, the exuberant jazz reinvention of George Friedrich Handel's Messiah, a vibrant mix of jazz, gospel, blues, swing, classical, and scat, features star soloist Roderick Dixon, Alfreda Burke, and Karen Marie Richardson. As we celebrate the 10th anniversary of our production of Too Hot to Handle in Chicago, we are excited to think of the thousands of people who have been entertained by the show, said Auditorium Theater Executive Director Brett Patterson. Likewise, we continue to be enlightened by the show's spirit and message of peace. It has become a citywide celebration of the legacy of a great American, Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. The auditorium looks forward to hosting this production for many years to come. And on the line with us right now are Alfreda Burke. Alfreda is an award-winning star of stage, screen, and television, an operatic soprano who has performed with the Chicago Symphony and the Milwaukee Symphony, has appeared at Ravinia and the Grant Park Music Festival, is a proud graduate of Roosevelt University's Chicago College of the Performing Arts. And Roderick Dixon, also an award-winning star, who has appeared on stage and in concert in a variety of dramatic roles that encompass the repertoire of both classical and contemporary opera, oratorio, concert recital, musical theater, and television. And it has been seen on the Today Show and the Tony Awards. And together with Karen Marie Richardson, we'll be appearing January 17th and 18th in what has become an annual tradition at the Auditorium Theater for 10 years, Too Hot to Handle, the Jazz Gospel Messiah. Alfred and Roderick, welcome back to the Kevin Moore Show.
thank you so much for having us, Kevin.
Well, it's great to have you. Great to have you. Haven't talked to you in a while, and certainly what has become a tradition here for 10, doesn't seem like 10 years, does it, Ron?
Well, it is 10 years. Great counting.
Geez, I remember you started this, you were in high school when we started.
Yeah, you're too kind.
You are.
But it certainly hasn't lost any of its exuberance or any of its enthusiasm, and I defy anybody to come and not be standing through most of the performance.
Definitely. Very true.
And it's very special because it's a special time of year. Of course, the timing is perfect this year in that, of course, we celebrate Martin Luther King Day on Monday, and we're going to do this Saturday and Sunday. It's just terrific timing.
Yes, it is.
Right. It is. Go hand in hand.
And the title's apropos to the weather in Chicago, which is we need a little hot.
Well, I think it's going to be hot this week. It's supposed to warm up a little bit, of course, from what we've had. It's certainly different. How do you maintain your enthusiasm doing this year in, year out? I'm afraid I'll direct that to you first. I mean, you're normally such an exuberant person and so forth, always very welcoming to people and so forth. And how do you get your enthusiasm to do the same thing every year at this time of year?
Well, thank you for that compliment. But I just love this piece because of the powerful text and just the spirit behind the music, and even going all the way back to the history, the timing when the composer, Handel, created this. He was inspired by God, and he did it in 24 days. So that message lives on. And then there's no other piece in Chicago like this piece. And you have 100-plus voices in the choir, a jazz combo, a 40-piece orchestra. You have Suzanne Acton, full of energy, boundless energy at the podium. You have Rod, myself, and as you said, Karen Marie Richardson. And this piece just, it has that exuberance and that energy, that exchange between the stage and the audience. And so it is a labor of love, and I love it, and it does not grow old. It actually evolves and gets more and more exciting the more we do it. And we just bring our life experiences to the table.
Now, Alfreda, you said that Handel wrote this in how long?
24 days.
3 weeks he put this together?
Unbelievable, isn't it?
Good Lord, I tell you. It's an oratorio, and just for our listeners, an oratorio, of course, is a musical composition divided into three parts. And, of course, for the Messiah, it represents Christ's birth, death, and resurrection. And through the biblical passages, and everybody remembers the Hallelujah Chorus, which gives us goosebumps even now. But in 3 weeks, he put that's phenomenal.
Yeah, and it's still relevant today. The message, the power, the music. We still have the melodies, and we maintain the Baroque elements. We just add jazz, gospel, blues, R&B, if you will, rock, reggae, so fusion. So you just have a lot of just diversity in musical styles. It's a hybrid. So that's why I think it's for every age group. A wide demographic attends, and it's for everyone. It's for the whole family.
I want to read a little essay here about the production. Marin Alsop enlisted the talents of two of her composer colleagues, Bob Christensen and Gary Anderson, who together began to reshape Handel's Messiah into today's gospel jazz version. In 1992, this has been around for a while, the trio envisioned Messiah in a way that captures a fresh feel and thrill while still retaining Handel's original music intent. It's a great story now with a more expanded sense of audience participation. It becomes an active listening experience when you're allowed not just to stand up at the end to welcome the king, but to clap your hands and join in the fun, says Marin, who wanted to relax the perception of a quiet, polite, classical audience and turn the performance into a participatory event. The creative team of Alsop, Anderson, Christensen decided their adaptation would encompass jazz, gospel, rock, and funk. Result is a swinging performance of the traditional oratorio. And Rod, when you get up there and sing, everybody's swinging when you're singing.
Yeah, it seems to be a reciprocal conversation in the sense that the audience, you know, for the last 10 years, that there are a lot of repeat people who come to see the concert, and they just know what to expect. And so there's a tradition of performance practice here that we have sort of found ourselves participating in with the audience, where they're not only clapping and talking and, you know, running down the aisles, and they know where their favorite moments are. It really is great for me as an artist to have that relationship with them, especially in the beginning when we start to clap and everybody knows that this is the tradition. And then when we get in the middle, when we get the bebop section and we're swinging, or when Alfreda starts the rest of the Tiv about the coming of the Christ, the Christ child, and, you know, you just know that everybody knows where these beats are, and so there's a certain performance practice for us, but there's also a certain kind of expectation of participation from the audience that's built into this tradition.
And that's a good point you bring up, Brad. Now, what you do now, or what you're going to be doing this weekend, how is that different from when you started this 10 years ago?
I think for me is that I'm just very cognizant of the news of the day, news of the year. Where are we today as opposed to where we were last year? And I think of the recent events that have happened globally, especially in France, and we're talking about peace, and we're talking about coming together, and everybody is trying to stay together and present this conversation that the world can be active about peace. Well, Too Hot to Handle every year plugs into that national, international discourse. The improvisational stuff that we choose to do is predicated on how we're moved by the news during the day and how we're going to come out and deal with that conversation. So if you have something like Behold, Darkness Shall Cover the Earth, and or you have another line that you have, the people that walketh in darkness, well, clearly you're going to look at some of the things that have transpired today, and you're going to see through that particular prayer view and that particular prism, and you're going to sing in that particular genre, which happens to be jazz, in a kind of bluesy, dark way. But you're also going to say to the people that this moment resonates to now. And so they get that, and they say, thank you. Thank you for giving us hope. Thank you for reminding us that hope does exist. They thank you for the peace in the music. And so when we improvise, we're tied into today's subject matter, nationally and internationally, because we're all moved by the sign of our time. And so the music moves with the times.
You know, very well said. And I only wish that, I hope people are listening to this, and I hope they'll listen to this interview that we're doing right now, but I only wish you'd be able to so eloquently say that to people that particular point in time. And it reminds me of your background, because your background, Alfreda's background, is gospel music from the way you were raised and so forth. And isn't that the essence of what happens in a church service? The pastor gets up or the minister gets up and says something about what point he wants to get across, and then you sing about it. And basically that's what you're saying. You're telling a story, and then we're singing about it.
Right.
Which goes back to...
And we're both pastor's kids, so...
Well, exactly, and we should talk a little bit about that, because I don't think people really know from whence both Roderick and Alfreda came. Your dad was a pastor, wasn't he, Alfreda?
Yes.
And still is? Is he still around?
Well, he passed away in 2009.
Okay.
But he pastored 37 to 38 years.
Yeah. You still sing at church?
I do.
Well, I don't want to be standing next to you when you do that.
And play the organ and the piano as well.
Really?
So, yeah, because when you're a pastor's kid, you wear so many different hats.
Sure.
You fill in wherever there is a need, and you do it simultaneously as well. So you're multitasking.
Have you always been from Chicago?
Yes.
And Rad, what about yourself?
Well, I'm born and raised in New York City.
Uh-huh.
New York, you know, Queens, New York, actually.
Okay.
And all my schooling was done there in New York before I moved here in Chicago in 1992 because of the Young Artist Program at the Opera House at Lyric Opera Chicago.
Okay.
And so I'm a transplant.
But you like Chicago better than New York now. Come on.
Well, Chicago's a fantastic city, and this is my home, and it's been really wonderful to me. It has welcomed me with open arms, and so I'm very happy with how my life has turned out. I found out freedom, so I have no reasons to complain.
Now, is your background also in gospel music and church?
Yes. My father is a Baptist minister.
Uh-huh.
He also played classical music and gospel music, and so I grew up playing those hymns and all those Negro spirituals and anthems and gospel music to the nth degree. And so my backdrop is that particular genre and that particular tradition and that particular cultural backdrop. But, you know, our professional backdrop in terms of making a living has germinated primarily from Chicago Symphony Orchestra and Alfreda's side, and my side, Lyric Opera Chicago, which then took us into Broadway, television, and traveling around the world, singing all kinds of repertoire. But, you know, we've been very fortunate living the American singer's life.
Mm-hmm.
You study all the languages, you sing all the music, you get your degrees in music, and then you go out in the real world and you try to have a conversation and resonate with people. And this is one of those pieces where we're allowed to kind of reach back in our roots and grab gospel and swing and bebop a little bit and sing, you know, some reggae and some pop and some fusion and do all kinds of strange things that most classical institutions, you know, have different departments, but they don't make you put them all together. And we're fortunate to put them all together in one particular show, so it's a great thing for an American singer.
Well, it must be fun, too, for both of you to see these young people on stage participating in the performance, because at one time, that was the both of you.
Yeah.
For sure. And that's why we do educational outreach for the Auditorium Theater leading up to Too Hot to Handle. We work with Shy Arts, the Performing Arts High School in the city of Chicago on yesterday, did master classes with them, and it was really wonderful. And it is, you know, you're learning as you're teaching and as you're imparting. And there is that energy between both forces again, you know, the student and the teacher or the master teacher. So we think it's really important to give back.
Do you see a lot of enthusiasm these young people have for the performances and so forth?
They do. One young man was explaining why, the fact that he loved music so much, and that was his way of self-expression.
Mm-hmm.
And you could just see it in his face, and his eyes was welling up with tears, and that one vein in his forehead, it was prominent. And I just feel his, you know, just his love and passion for music.
It's got to touch you because you're so participating in that feeling for him. And because of you, he's feeling that way. That's just a wonderful thing. Well, what's next up for Roger Dixon and Alfreda Burke?
Well, we're very blessed that the Auditorium Theater has partnered with us on a new show called Songs of a Dream.
A dual concert.
And it comprises, multi-genre conversation about our life story.
Mm-hmm.
Co-produced with the Auditorium Theater, and we're booking across the country, and we're in the studio right now finishing up the album for it.
Awesome.
And, if people are so inclined, they can, you know, mine, they can visit our website for the new show called Songs of a Dream. It's at www.songsofadream.com.
Okay.
And so that's our new project, and then we just got back from London with the Miss World Project over there in London this past December, and we'll be with them at the Variety Children's Fundraiser in Iowa come March on television there.
And that's a telethon, yeah.
Yeah, and so we have those things covered, plus the bookings of the show, and of course our regular classical bookings for upcoming events with symphonies and that kind of thing.
Well, will you be presenting the Songs of a Dream at the auditorium?
We started 2 years ago.
2012.
And okay.
I'm sure that when we book Chicago again, it will probably be downtown area, if not, certainly. So the Auditorium Theater will decide whether to bring the show there or they're going to have it produced somewhere else in the city of Chicago. We recently were just at Governor State University.
That's a great venue there. That's a wonderful venue.
Fantastic mm-hmm. venue. And we're looking to film the show as well, so we have that. And we're looking at another possible television project. So we're pretty busy with producing and singing and singing all these different genres, and it's been a very interesting life to live. But you know, American singers sing everything, and we've been trained to sing everything.
Sure, so, sure.
You know, it's part of the business. You sing, but you also produce. So.
Can I ask the question? If you like something to sing the best, do you like jazz once in a while, just for a break, or?
Yeah. I do style like
a unified that. Response. That's great.
And we could be listening to the radio, and Rod will just burst into scatting.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well,
for a break.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because the older you get, you begin to realize, you know, it's like you look at, you know, Rembrandt, or you look at Picasso, and you look at their work, and all of a sudden you see it in a different way that you didn't see it before because you're older.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, because you have that imagery, you get a line such as jazz, where you get a chordal structure or some kind of idea of a chordal harmonic line. And next thing you know, you're in Dorian mode, and you're sitting there thinking about that painting. But it's the same feeling you would get if you're looking at Stravinsky, and you know, you're seeing a piece of his that's written in a very interesting way, angular way. And you have the same painting. So depending on what genre you're singing and whatever your life experiences are, it will come out. And so the genres allow you to tell that story, to show that experience. And so, you know, the genres are they're like the bus, they're like the train. You know, they allow you to get on and tell a story. So
And that's what the performing arts and the fine arts are all about, your truth, your honesty, your authenticity, your story, bringing yourself to the art form and not leaving yourself out on a shelf someplace, but involving yourself in your self-story and your experiences. And that's why this piece evolves, and that's why it speaks truth, and that's why it stays fresh and relevant in our hearts and in our minds. And to the audiences as well.
And that's the key to a vital life, possessing an eagerness to learn and a willingness to change. And we all change day in and day out, some for the better, some for the worse, but we hope we do and learn from that. And I remember something we talked one time, Elfrieda, and something your dad said. It was something
what goes
comes from
the heart reaches the heart.
Right, right, right. And I think that's the best legacy he could leave for all of us, right?
Because
that's what you're living and Rod is living, we're fortunate.
Put your heart and soul into what you're doing, and it will definitely connect with people and resonate throughout them as well as you.
Well, you know, it's always delightful to have you both on, one more time for the website so people can get some information about the new CD that you're...
The new show, co-produced with the Auditorium Theater, is called
Songs of a Dream.
And they can go to www.songsofadream.com.
Beautiful, beautiful. The Auditorium Theater of Roosevelt University, located at 50 East Congress Parkway, is an Illinois not-for-profit organization committed to presenting the finest in international, cultural, community, and educational program to Chicago, and to the continued restoration and preservation of the National Historic Landmark Auditorium Theater. In September of 2014, the Auditorium Theater was awarded the inaugural Fifth Star Award by Mayor Rahm Emanuel and the Chicago Department of Cultural Affairs and Special Events. The Auditorium Theater of Roosevelt University presents the 10th anniversary performance of Too Hot to Handle, the Jazz Gospel Messiah, honoring the life of civil rights activist and cultural icon Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., January 17th and 18th. The exuberant jazz reinvention of George Friedrich Handel's Messiah, a vibrant mix of jazz, gospel, blues, swing, classical, and scat, features star soloists Roderick Dixon, Elfrieda Burke, and Karen Marie Richardson. And on the line with us right now are Roderick Dixon and Elfrieda Burke. You know, it's always a pleasure, as I said before, having you both on the show, and always delightful to chat. I'm sorry I miss you going to the meetings, Elfrieda, but I know you're doing well, and I hope everything is going well at the Roosevelt University's College of the Performing Arts. Rod, I always see you around and like to see you more, but let's keep in touch, and I'm happy to get the word out about the new CD and make everybody aware of it, and anything new comes up, let us know.
Thank you.
We do miss your presence.
Well, I appreciate that. We'll look forward to seeing you this weekend. God bless you both.
God bless you as well.
Thanks, Elfrieda. Thanks, Rod. Roderick Dixon and Elfrieda Burke, just two terrific people, very good friends for many years. And if you have an opportunity, and make an opportunity to see Too Hot to Handle, the Jazz Gospel Messiah, honoring the life of civil rights activist and cultural icon Dr. Martin Luther King, January 17th and 18th at the Auditorium Theater of Roosevelt University. Very timely in that we celebrate the holiday on Monday, and just reading in the paper this morning that... the movie Selma was just nominated for Best Picture. Very well deserved. So again, for information, for tickets, 800-982-2787. And here's another resolution tidbit. You resolved to be healthier in 2015, but you're already slipping. How long does it take for a lifestyle change to become a routine? Does it take 2 weeks, 1 or 2 months, 3 to 6 months, or at least a year? Well, the answer is 3 to 6 months. It takes a minimum of 3 to 6 months to make a new behavior permanent, says John Norcross, PhD, a professor of psychology at the University of Scranton. We know it takes time to learn to play tennis or master the piano, but with behavior change, we expect to instantly succeed. According to Norcross, when successful resolvers succumb to that hunk of chocolate cake, they think, "I need to recommit and not give up," rather than view the lapse as proof that they can't realize their goal. Norcross advises enlisting the support of friends and family, finding a healthy substitute for the bad behavior, establishing a reward system, and steering clear of triggers. Still need help? Think about turning a vague resolution such as, "I'm going to be healthier," into a concrete goal like, I will take a brisk walk every day. And remember, give yourself a little time. Sounds like a rationalization to me, but take as much time as you need, but hopefully not a whole year. Well, that about does it for our show today. I thank you for sharing this last hour with me and hope you, our listeners, have enjoyed this time as much as I have. I'd especially like to thank our guest, John Golich, the CEO of Unicom, the producer of the largest series of travel shows in America, now presenting the 11th annual Travel and Adventure Show at the Donald E. Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont, Saturday, January 17th and Sunday, January 18th. For information, www.travelshows.com/Chicago. Should be a great weekend. A lot of great activities. So if you get a chance on a cold and chilly weekend, go out and enjoy the warm friendship of the 11th annual Travel and Adventure Show. And our good friends, Alfreda Burke and Roderick Dixon, who together with Karen Marie Richardson will be appearing this Saturday and Sunday in what has become an annual tradition at the Auditorium Theater of Roosevelt University for 10 years. Too Hot to Handle, the Jazz Gospel Messiah. What a rousing time it is. For information, 800-982-2787. Always a delight to chat with Alfreda and Roderick. Finally, a famous writer once said, one ought every day at least to hear a little song, read a good poem, see a fine picture, and if it were possible, to speak a few reasonable words. I hope on our show today we have, at the very least, done just that, spoken a few reasonable words. At that, I'd like to wish everyone a good week, and as that British group once said, and in the end, the love that you take is equal to the love that you make. Happy New Year, everyone.
In your eyes I may not see forever. Forever. If we can be the best of lovers, yet be the best of friends. If we can try with every day to make it better as it grows, any luck then I suppose. The music The music